I'm Matt Stone. You're listening to Crucial Conversations, a series of five stories of grassroots leadership by people in the disability sector in Queensland. Today we're going to meet Margaret Rogers. Marg is the CEO of Crew. Marg, tell us, who is Crew?
Hi, Matt. Well, Crew is a small organisation based in Queensland that works for full and meaningful lives for people living with disability. And one of the things that is a little bit unique about us is that our constituents are people with disability, their families, and their supporters, both paid and unpaid.
And can you tell us a bit about the purpose of Crew?
So our purpose is to create change and to develop leadership to improve the lives of people living with disability.
How do you go about creating change?
For most of our 30 years, Crew has made quite intentional investments in leadership development for people with disabilities, their families and supporters. I guess in a nutshell, what we want to do is provide people with information, resources, and skill people up and connect them with each other so they can lead their own change. Crew is really small, so if we worked on individual efforts, then we wouldn't achieve very much. However, if we resource people to lead their own change and connect them to each other, then our contribution goes much further.
When Kathy was 11, a decision was made that she would go and live in an institution.
The humanity of people doesn't fit easily with a service sector that's focused on numbers of hours of support, of certain kinds of outcomes.
And then she said to me, "I don't trust you, you're a radical." That was a good start.
So, Marg, why did Crew make these podcasts?
Well, Matt, I guess it's a time of great change. We wanted to increase the understanding in the disability sector about how change happens and also how to sustain it over time. With the introduction of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, that is impacting on people with disabilities, their families, and the organisations that support them, including Crew, of course.
And is Crew working with anyone else in the development of these podcasts?
Matt, these podcasts were funded by the Anne Cross Leadership Initiative. This initiative was established in 2017 to honour the contribution of Anne Cross to Uniting Care Queensland during her years as the Chief Executive Officer there. So this partnership between Uniting Care and Crew aims to contribute to the development of strong, principled leadership amongst people with disability and their families throughout Queensland in order to contribute to better lives for people with disability. I want to also thank Hamish Sewell from the Story Project, who has worked with Crew to develop these resources. Hamish is an experienced podcaster and producer, and he has certainly brought a professionalism to this little project that we have really appreciated.
In listening to the podcast, the stories are very personal, and I'm thinking that's been very intentional by Crew. Is that right? You've gone with something quite personal, quite deliberately?
Yes, Matt. We were thinking that rather than formally explore frameworks or theory of change in order to get to understand how change happens, that hearing about change and leadership through five personal stories that focus on grassroots change would be really helpful for people.
So why not just make this about change theory?
I think it's all about change theory, but it's in terms of how we get that message across to people, we wanted the stories to explore the personal impacts of striving for grassroots change. Because I guess what we observe is that most people who get involved in change in this sector get involved because they're concerned at a personal level. We're in a fortunate position that there are many leaders in Queensland, and we could have made more stories than just this five.
Having these podcasts as a resource to demystify change and leadership seems like a fitting tribute to Anne, the founding director of Crew and one of the people featured in the podcasts.
As somebody who works in the sector and has done now for a couple of decades, I was very moved by Anne's story. Like Anne, I've worked closely with families and, you know, tried to respectfully make my contribution, you know, side by side with people. And I thought, I guess I was listening, thinking about young workers coming into the sector and wanting to make a contribution. And I was interested and excited by Anne's story, and I hope that that would be the case for them as well.
Also in the podcast, a real point of difference is that the leadership is not a formal leadership. It's a grassroots leadership that comes from people with disability and their families. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Matt, when we talk about leadership at Crew, we're not just thinking about formal leadership roles. We're thinking about anybody who wants to create change and to take people with them. And so in many situations, that is people with disability or their families or the people who stand with them. We wanted to demonstrate and highlight the natural authority of families, a concept described by Dr. Michael Kendrick that we try to put into practice. I guess what we're talking about there is assisting families to take up the authority they have and not hand everything over to experts or professionals. It also involves, of course, assisting professionals to understand how to respect and harness that natural authority of families.
In forming Crew, we very deliberately said we will come together as professionals, as families, as people with disabilities, and we'll participate in this as equals.
So who are we going to be hearing from?
Each episode features a different person telling their story of involvement in the lives of people with disability in Queensland. They reflect on what influenced them and what it took to achieve what they have. So the speakers are Kevin Cox, Margaret and Jeremy Ward, Josie McMahon, Leanne Burke and Anne Cross.
What I really loved about it, listening to each of those people, was how clear they were on their values. They're not stories of leadership for the sake of leadership or leadership in a values vacuum. They're all stories of people working to ensure the inclusion of people with disability in our community. And for some of those people, it's their own family member, but for others, it's about people with disability as a group. And in some, if not most, of the stories, it's a combination of both.
That's right. Part of what I really love about the stories too is the way they challenge the status quo.
It's really clear that they're working for change on the personal level, but they've really cut a path and been trailblazers for others to follow.
You know, we were talking about change theories. Most change theories talk about needing a vision of something different, you know, a preferred option, something better that you want to work towards. And each of these people wanted more than what was being currently offered. For people with disability, this vision might, ironically, be something quite ordinary. For instance, to have the same opportunities as everyone else.
These stories really highlight that people with disability and families have led so much change. They weren't people who waited for someone in a formal role, someone with a, you know, a title or a position to do something. They just kind of got on with it. And it wasn't just parents, it's brothers and sisters stepping forward too.
I also like the fact that different things got people started on the journey of change. A seed was planted, a comment was made. You know, somebody saw somebody with a disability in a local school and said, my daughter could do that. And people didn't always know exactly what they wanted when they started, but they may have just known that something was wrong or something had to change. And then they went about working out how to do that. And I also really appreciated that some people went through considerable change in their own thinking about their life or the life of their family member. You know, these weren't people who had it all sewn up when they took a step to make some change.
You know, it was more of a hope, and that she really deserved to have a different life. Maybe it was I didn't believe in myself enough that it was possible that I could actually make this happen. You know, I could make things happen for other people, but could I actually make it happen for my own sister?
These podcasts contain different leadership styles and different strategies for change, which I really appreciate because it demonstrates there's not just one way to do this. There are some examples of up the front leadership, and people taking on formal roles and people kind of by all means leading from the front. But there are also examples of people leading quietly from behind, people who are just demonstrating what's possible, raising the bar, quietly strategizing and then persevering. And I think that's great to have those examples. If we want change to happen for people with disability, then we need to work at many different levels. And I do think we need to bust this myth of leadership being all from the front.
And also that leadership isn't doing it all yourself. It's not a one-person show. It always involves working with other people.
There are a couple of levels about how to involve other people. There are stories of bringing in others to help, because change does take a lot of effort over time. But there's also leaders working together for collective change and, of course, communicating their vision and bringing people with them.
It's really clear in the podcast that you can't be a leader if you don't have followers, particularly if you're going to be forging a new path. You don't want to get all the way down that path and turn around and find there's no one behind you. Leadership is really about bringing people with you, and how important it is that people communicated their vision so that people could clearly understand where they were headed and what this change was actually about.
These stories are of collective leadership. So what's interesting about these five stories is that they do all know each other.
And you hear there's overlaps between people. You might hear something that people did in one story, you might hear that person mentioned somewhere else.
An example would be that Margaret and Jeremy talk about their daughter moving into her own home, and then Leanne talks about that because Leanne was working for the organisation that helped that to happen. Both Jeremy and Kevin served as managers of Queensland Advocacy Incorporated. So there are many overlaps, and of course all of them also have a connection with Crew. But this doesn't mean that this is a little clique. We are in the very fortunate position that there are many people here who have taken leadership and worked for change and worked together for a very long time.
I think there's wisdom here about how long change takes and how to sustain ourselves for the long haul. Each story spans quite a long time of people's lives, and the good part is that each speaker still sounds fresh and enthusiastic.
It gives us hope, doesn't it?
Building a vision is glorious work. It's hard work, but it is so positive and life-affirming that the difficulties are counterbalanced. And I'm sure of that.
Is there any parts of the podcast that you particularly wanted to mention?
Without making it sound like a sales pitch, Matt, there are so many pieces that I really, really enjoyed. And also that really moved me. There were times when I was listening where I felt very teary hearing about some of the challenges in people's lives. There's one point where Josie asks, how did her sister survive 47 years in an institution? And just posing that question really puts you in her sister's shoes. But I suppose the emotional lows are matched by the highs as people, you know, then are able to reflect on a story over time and share with us the result of, you know, new lives and new possibilities emerging.
What drives me in my change and advocacy is about belonging and relationships. And it's about what we have in common. And we all need to belong. It's not driven by fear, it's driven by hope.
I also really enjoyed Josie's story and the change from doubt to hope and then turning that hope into real change. The other one for me was particularly hearing from Leanne and being so clear about the role she had in people's lives and sometimes being quite close when that was necessary, and at other times being able as a leader to stand back and let other people in or work in a different way where the focus wasn't about and never was about her but about the people she was working alongside to get a better life.
And I'm thrilled that Crew has been able to capture something of Leanne's story. She has been such a leader in person-centered practice, or however we want to name that, for the last 25 years in Queensland. But because she's a person who leads from behind, she's often not the person who's up there telling the story. So I'm particularly thrilled that she's been willing to share that with us.
I just think I'm someone that utilises the experience and knowledge that I've gained through working with people over many years and have a sense of confidence of what's possible and giving other people confidence to do that.
As you listen to the stories, there are some people who, regardless of life circumstances, probably always would have taken a lead and, you know, been up front and done that. And there are others who we sometimes refer to as accidental activists. They never kind of went looking for a challenge. And I think a little bit of Kevin when I say this. I mean, Kevin was 21 when he acquired a disability. He was, you know, a young man from Western Queensland who was kind of into fast cars and backing slow horses, I think is how he describes it. And yet, you know, over time, as he became passionate about a cause, he's, you know, just recently stepped down as the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner of Queensland. I don't think he would have ever anticipated as a young man of 21 that where his life would take him.
And also each person really seeing that something needed to change and then not just talking about that and whinging about that, but wherever they were in their own life, they took responsibility for making that change happen. So there was real inspiration for me in the stories that people were willing, regardless of where they were at, to say something is not good enough here and I've got a part to play to make it better. When I became a worker in the sector back in the late 80s, I remember learning over many years that is the challenge, is to take up, to take action, and that I had a responsibility to be the leader in my own life and in the lives of the people that I was meeting.
Yes, they weren't waiting for this mysterious they who should fix it. They got in and did something about it. Some of these stories talk of the power of institutions and big systems in people's lives. And we can think that that's all in the past, that that's part of our history. But in fact, I'm mindful that those challenges still exist and can be recreated at any time. So the other important thing about these stories is that they show that those big systems can also be challenged. Matt Crew is doing a lot of work at the moment with families who are interested in inclusive education. And as I listened to Marg and Jeremy's, and of course they, as they focused on Mina's life, they went back to a particular kind of piece of work that they needed to do to get her into the local school. I thought how helpful that would be to some of the families who are still struggling, you know, 30 years later, to get their kids into the local school and to, I guess, have the reflections of people who have gone before them. We at Crew are very thankful for the contribution of the people who have shared their reflections and their story and their thoughts with us.
This series is brought to you by Crew, the Community Resource Unit. Crew exists to create positive change so that people with disability will be welcomed, respected and appreciated in their communities. For more information, please visit our website at cru.org.au.
Although the stories all come from Queensland, they certainly could be listened to anywhere around Australia, and people will recognise the stories, the people and the challenges they faced. So, Marg, where can people hear the podcast?
Okay, so the first story will be released in 2 weeks. The podcast will come out weekly after that.
Neither of us could have done it alone, and many times we couldn't have done it just the two of us. And we got on board the people to support us, and these people had the most extraordinary ideas and strategies that you know, you and I would never have even thought of.